Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
People connect, families grow, lives are changed. People connect, families grow, lives are changed.
You know, I want to talk to you for a couple minutes about burying your past, about burying your dreams. How many of y'all like me and you've done some things you're not so excited about talking about? Have you ever done things that you asked God to forgive you for and you still kind of thought about, man, I actually did kind of like that? Come on, let's try that again. I know you did. You're like, yeah, God, forgive me, and I don't want to do that again. And you're confused because you're like, what? Why is that? There's a difference between your heart and your head. Have you ever known people and you love them, but people didn't really necessarily like them and you thought, man, if they just knew their heart, they come across wrong, but do you know their heart? Anybody know what I'm talking about there? And that's the way God looks at us. He looks at us after our heart, not after our sin. So that confusing, that conflicting thing that you have going on where you're like, man, I ask God to forgive me, but there's sometimes these things I don't necessarily feel bad about. That's the difference between your flesh and your spirit. Remember St. Paul said, the thing that I want to do, I don't do, and the thing that I don't want to do, I do. That's the same thing we do, where we're at Thanksgiving dinner, we eat, and then we say, man, you know what? I'm losing weight. I'm not going to eat again for 3 days. And then around 11 o'clock, you're like, yeah, I can breathe again. I'll eat again, right? So you make decisions that are temporary based on physical strength. But the Bible said that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we have to learn to separate our doing from his done. See, when Jesus said, it is finished, he didn't say, I am finished. When he hung on the cross and he said, it is finished, he said, sin's power to dominate you, control you, is finished, if you want it to be. How do we do that? I think one of the things that you and I really need to do is we need to focus on the root instead of the fruit. You know, when Nicole and I were at that little cemetery, there was these Easter lilies that were beginning to pop out of the ground. A month prior to that, you could drive through there and you wouldn't see anything. It didn't look like there was anything happening. But under the surface, there was a seed. There was a root. And when the conditions were right in time and the season was right, this Easter lily began to pop up out of the ground. May I tell you today that God has good plans for you. He said, I know the plans I have for you. They're for good and not for evil, to bring you to an expected end. Right now, underneath the surface, God is doing something in you that is not necessarily visible on the outward. But it will become visible outwardly as you continue to water the seed. Well, how do I do that? One of the ways that we do that is we go to the house of God, not because we're perfect. A lot of times people say, I don't go to church because I got to clean up to go to church. You know, I got to clean up to come to Christ. I did not like pre-shower before I showered today. I just went in assuming that the shower would take care of everything. And I hope it did. Amen? I put on right guard to help it. But you don't clean up to come to Christ. You come to Christ and he cleans you up. Because the root of Jesus is on the inside of you. The root of grace is on the inside of you. And so what the enemy tries to do is he tries to get us to focus on the condition or the fruit where we're at right now. Listen, we've all lied. We're not liars, but we've lied. We've all sinned. We all have greed, lust, pride, all those things. That's a flesh thing. But if you allow that to dictate your future, then you will never fully realize the beautiful gift of righteousness that God has for you because you're always reminding yourself of something that you're not. You're singing songs like, you're no good, you're no good, you're no good. David, you're no good. In fact, one of the services, I think I'm preaching 97 this weekend, and one of them, I just didn't think I did too good, and I walked off the stage, and I could hear the devil say, you're no good, you're no good. And I could hear the Lord say, don't you listen to him. You did good. You did better than you think you did. And so I encouraged myself, and therefore, now I'm preaching the greatest sermon ever because I'm not going to push myself down, bury my dreams, shatter my hopes. I got to be confident, and you got to be confident that the rest of your life is going to be the best of your life, not based on what you have done, but based on what he has done. One way that I think your sin can be reminded is sometimes people can do that. When I was real small, probably 9, 10 years old, something like that, we were really poor. In fact, our bologna didn't have a first name. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We didn't have Cheerios. We just had O's. Some of y'all had Dr. Pepper, and we just had just Pepper. Remember that stuff? It's generic cola, right? You could buy it. So we went to a place called Kmart, and there were I was walking down the aisle. It was Christmas or Easter time, and there was these Easter bunnies. And I knew Mom would say no, and I knew we didn't have the money, but there was a couple of them that were broken. And the broken ones had 50% off. I thought, that's my day. So I ran over to Mom, and I tried to convince her to come over. By the time she got there, they were gone. So then she walked away and said, no, we're not paying, you know, you can't have that. And so I thought, I can solve this problem, right? So I just began to make sure there were plenty. So I just broke bunny ear after bunny ear after bunny ear after bunny ear. They went and talked to somebody and said, hey, there's a lot of these that aren't marked down and they're broken. Will you mark them down? So she did. I brought my mom back over, and miraculously, they were all broken. And so I told that story when I started the church about 10 years ago. And now every year, about 13 people bring me a broken bunny ear every year. And some of them are the hollow broken bunny ear. If you're going to do that to me, bring me the solid milk chocolate bunny ear. Can I get an amen in here? So now I tell my fault one time, and they keep reminding me of it. Now that's the one I'm comfortable telling you about. I'm not so comfortable telling you about things that I just don't want to tell you. But I, like you, have fallen short. If I waited till I got right to preach a sermon, y'all would still be waiting for me this morning. Because I'm not basing this thing on me being right. I'm basing the fruit of righteousness coming out of the root of Jesse, that God is for me and who can be against me. And there's therefore, somebody ought to help me, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. At the end of the day, you and I, we gotta just stop focusing on what we're not. Isaiah 11, verse 10, it says, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse who will stand as a banner for the people. In that day. He's talking about Jesus here. Well, who's Jesse? Jesse is David, King David's dad. It says, out of the root of Jesse came Jesus. Wow. Let's talk about this imperfection. This David guy, he was all heart and he had a heart towards the Lord, but he had this problem. He liked pornography. He went to battle, and then he came home and he realized, I don't have to go to battle anymore. I mean, I got it together. I'm the king. I'm staying home. And he had 1,000 concubines and 1,000 different wives. And how many of y'all understand this is biblical days? How many of y'all glad that deal's over? Because you can't please the one you got right now, right? You know, and he's got all of this, but that wasn't enough because the flesh is never satisfied. So he sees this woman taking a bath, Bathsheba. He invites her over. They have an affair. She eventually gets pregnant, and then he tries to cover it up. So he brings the husband back. The husband doesn't sleep with her because he's an honorable man and said, while my men are in battle, I will not engage in pleasure. So he has to figure out a new way so the dates all add up properly. So then he has him killed. So now he's an adulterer and a murderer. And then God says, David is a man after my own heart. Growing up, I never fully understood that because I thought, which part did you like, God, the adulterer part or the murder part? Which part? Because, I mean, how many of y'all like me? And you could help God with both of those. You got people that, some of you like, on Easter, really? This is a real church talking about real problems, and you need to feel real comfortable knowing that we got issues. We're not a church that comes in and tells you, we got it all together. Don't you want to come to church and be like us? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be. I know how to do all that, but people aren't buying that. People want organic, real gospel preaching, saying, if it had not been for Jesus. So, that's why people say, I don't want to go to church because of the hypocrites. My answer to that is don't go to Applebee's or IHOP because we go there too, right? This isn't a hypocritical, hypocritical church. This is a church that is pointing the finger at you this way. Okay, so he said he's a man after my own heart. Out of David, out of Jesse, comes the beautiful fruit of Jesus Christ. God takes pleasure in taking foolish things, unwanted things, and turning them for good. He'll turn your mess into a message, your test into a testimony. If you don't break down, you will break through, but you've got to get to the point to where your seed is being watered. How does that happen? Local church. The heartbeat of God is the local church. He said the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. The church isn't where you come to be perfect. The church is where you come to learn about the word in a real, relevant, fun manner so that the rest of your life can be better. The Bible says that the truth shall set you free. When you hear the truth over and over, eventually your outward condition will begin to change. And now that thing that you hate about yourself begins to change. You're like, I'm kind of in control of my temper. I'm better now than I was then. I'm kind of in control of the situation. I'm getting better. How many of y'all would like to get a little better than a little worse? We get that through renewing our mind and making a decision. Everybody shout, make a decision. Now, I got married when I was 18 years old. I fell in love. It was puppy love, and puppy love leads to a dog's life. I don't know if you know that. And I was married for 8 years. After 8 years, she left me, divorced me, and then, I don't know if you heard of the new divorce Barbie, but it comes with all Ken stuff, so I was broke. Living in Baldwin, Missouri, in an apartment with no furniture, not a stick of furniture. Had a TV on a little stand, and had my motorcycle inside the apartment. That was kind of cool, an option that you could do. And it was just me and my little cat named Harley. And I was depressed. I was overweight, discontented, and thought I could never live again. The root was shattered. It was ripped in half. It was over. And then I would make matters worse. You'd turn on the radio, and it'd be like, I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. Anybody know what I'm talking about here right now? You ever been in love and they left and you got a sad song and you turn the channel and it's like, baby, come back. You can blame it all on me. But then I made a decision. I thought, you know what? I'm not going to allow my past to dictate my future. Somebody's going to love me again. God's got good plans for me. And then the enemy in my shoulder would say, nobody's going to want to hear a divorced preacher. You could never be a preacher like you dreamed of being. I thought, oh, yeah, that's right. Disqualifies you in most organizations. But then God spoke to me and said, you know what? Check the stats on that. Come to find out, 50% of all marriages end in divorce. So there were a whole lot of people intrigued in what I had to say. And the leading cause for divorce is marriage, just so you know. And so the enemy was saying one thing, and God was telling me, listen, allow the fruit that's underneath the soil to begin to grow and get on a stage and start telling people about my love and tell them about my grace and tell them about my power. And so I just began to change from the inside. I started exercising, drinking water, and hanging out with people, not talking about how bad it was and how lonely I was. And then I met that girl that you saw on the screen a minute ago, about 18 years ago, and 17 years ago, I married her. And I didn't have a kid and always wanted a kid and thought, man, I've wasted 8 years of my life. I wanted a kid. She had an 8-year-old little boy. He had his big people teeth, his little people teeth. And he came to me and he said, can I call you Papa? And I said, you can call me whatever you want because your mama calls me Big Daddy. Just call me Papa. I don't care. Call me what you want to call me. And today, he's a pastor of the church. Nicole is preaching in Florida this morning. The West Plex, Earth City, Sunset. Somebody ought to shout amen. Don't tell me that there's not a good purpose for your life. It is not based on your performance. It's not based on you being good. It's based on his grace, which is sufficient for us. His grace is made perfect in our weakness. If God be for you, who and what can be against you? There's something right under the surface right now, this Easter Sunday. It's beginning to grow. But you've got to water it. So Christmas and Easter, everybody goes to church. It's what we do. Like, I got the bulletin, so I've got a receipt that I went. If the Lord comes back, I got like 12 years. It's kind of like an IRS audit. You're like, how long do I have to keep these? And that's cute, and I'm glad you came. But I'm telling you that your life will never really grow to its full potential until you get in a real, relevant church. It's not pointing the finger at you this way, but pointing the finger at you this way and say, there was a man that had two sons. One went out and spent all he had on riotous living. Woke up and realized he was out of money. And the father had been waiting the whole time. He said, I'll go back to my dad's house. Jesus' message. And as he was on his way back, the father is looking. Isn't that something? The father's looking for you today. And he's looking and he said, there is my son that was lost and now he's found. And the elder brother said, what are you doing celebrating him? I've been here the whole time. And he said, kill the fatted calf and put a ring on his finger and a robe, get the big robe. And he said, what about me? That's what hypocrites do. They always point to the flesh. I was good. I was in church. I did right. But guess what? No matter how far you've went, no matter how deep in sin you are, God is looking for you today saying, come here. I'm here to put a ring on your finger, a robe on your back. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad about you. I love you. So just tell the hypocrites, shutty. Do your thing. Be you. Several times while I was preaching here a moment ago, I thought, you know, that's too far out. You know, I'm all out of love. All those songs, it's Easter, dude. don't do that. And then I'm like, that's not how I got here. I got here by being me, and I'm the best me that me can be, and I got to be me, and you got to be you. And don't disqualify yourself because you're not like them, because they're actually trying to be somebody else. If you'll just be you, you will find out that God created you with a unique thumbprint to make an imprint that only you can make. And so we need to go into the highways and byways and let people know the local church is the place that you get the seed watered so that your life is not stuck in a rut. But you come out strong, victorious, and powerful. Every head bowed and every eye closed and watching on television around the world, I want you to pray this simple prayer with me that makes Jesus the Lord of your life and heaven your home, because you're going to live forever. And you definitely want to go see your friends and your family. Spend eternity with Jesus. One prayer does that. I'm not going to ask you out of your seat. I'm not going to ask you down. I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm asking you to accept Jesus. Give me the privilege of praying this prayer with you. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that He is my Lord, my Savior. From this moment forward, I'm not going to be perfect, but I am going to be forgiven. And I will go to your house, read your word, just talk to you, God, every day. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Give the Lord a hand for all those people receiving Jesus. And hey, I want to tell you that you got to get involved in the local church. You got to come hear the word for your life to be changed.
For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com.
Families grow, lives are changed. People connect, families grow, lives are changed.